how the Lord Jesus sees me, how the Lord Jesus sees me. Now, where I say me, you say me for yourself, so you, but you know what I'm saying, sees us. Okay, but how the Lord Jesus sees me, and may this kind of encourage us, you know, remind us how the Lord views us. And the Lord doesn't see us the way people see us. The Lord doesn't see us the way, well, sometimes we see ourselves. And I'm going to start a little different. I'm going to start with a little testimony, and I hope I don't embarrass him too much, but had the joy of bumping into Brother Rod on Tuesday at Pick and Save, and that was a nice surprise. I wasn't expecting to meet anyone that I know just going into the store, and I'm so used to just walking in, seeing a bunch of random people, you know, people I don't know, not really think about the life that they might be going through, the ups and downs, just minding my own business, you know. And then it was just a real blessing. We chatted briefly. I enjoyed the sweet and short fellowship. Then we went on our ways, you know, but it really lifted my spirits. And I do appreciate Brother Rod. Love him as a brother in Christ. Our fellowship was precious. In fact, it matters to me if something happens to him. You know, if God blesses him, I'm blessed. If they go through a hard time, I'm down. I pray with them, for them. I look forward to seeing Brother Rod every week, fellowship together, catch up, pray with him. That's a blessing. And then it kind of hit me. God loves everyone in that store. They are all precious to God. There are no random people. There are no strangers. I mean, this world is full of strangers to us. But God made every single human being specifically, wonderfully, fearfully, uniquely. There are no extras, right? If you want to think of it from like a stage or a screenplay, younger kids might call them NPCs. You know, there aren't extras like that. Everyone's life is full, deep. Everyone's life is a complex story. Now, we won't be privy to it. But God is right there, right? He knows. And all we see is a surface of 5 seconds when we walk someone past the aisle, right, in a store. But everyone's life is full of twists and turns, drama, wins and losses, laughter and tears. In each life, each individual, each specific life, God desires a deep and personal relationship with that person, with you. Deeper than what you have with your best friend. More than what you have with your spouse or parents. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you are. I don't say what you are. We're all people, okay? So that you know, you got to be a human being, okay? But besides all that, doesn't matter what we are doing or what we have done. Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, what mistakes we've made. Doesn't matter. Doesn't even matter if we are saved or not. Hear me out. God still loves us. Even a lost person. God doesn't love us because we're saved. God loves us even though we were lost. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God gave Jesus Christ to save the world, and he loved the world when the world was yet in darkness and sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you because you're you. God loves us individually, not just humanity as a whole. It matters to God when things matter to you, when things happen to you. Everyone has a life worth saving. That's why Jesus Christ died for everyone. Everyone has a life worth living, a life worth telling. Of course, if someone rejects Jesus Christ as Savior, then they reject the gift of salvation. Of course, then they have no relationship with God and they will incur God's wrath for their sin. That's not what God desires. But if someone rejects Jesus Christ, that's on them. If you're saved, you have no one to thank but God. But if you're lost, you have no one to blame but yourself. But even through that rejection, Jesus, God, still loves them and desires that fellowship with them, which leads me to tonight's scripture. So let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Let's go to verse 21. Mark chapter 10. And then verse 21, this is the story of Jesus, his encounter with the rich young ruler. You know, we preached this before, but I'm going to come from it from a little different twist. Again, how the Lord sees us, how he sees me. But let's go to verse 21, Mark chapter 10, and then verse 21. And the Word of God says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Let us pray. Abba, Father, our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this privilege that we can assemble tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word that reveals to us who you are. Lord, I thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy to us and to me. And Lord, we need you. Lord, and even as a songwriter cried out, Lord, abide with me. Lord, that's our, may that be our sincere desire. We don't deserve it, but Lord, may we desire it for you to abide with us, Lord. And Father, we ask in faith, you are blessed now the preaching of thy word. Speak to hearts, Father, hide me behind the cross that I would decrease, that the Lord Jesus Christ would increase, that it be your word that proceedeth out of this mouth, Lord, and that we will hear from heaven on high. We give you all the blessing and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. To state it again, there are no random people. Even this rich young ruler here, who seemingly kind of came out of nowhere. In fact, if you go back to verse 17 with me, kind of to set the stage, he might have seemed to come out of nowhere to the disciples, but Jesus knows him, right? And so go to verse 17. And when, again, when we read these scriptures from the context, we can understand the disciples. That's kind of, we can see from their point of view. But remember, the Lord is the creator of all. So he made us all. And so this is one of his creations coming to him, okay? And so that is huge. Okay, so this gentleman, verse 17, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So one of Jesus' creations kind of come out of nowhere, right? Now, again, it's random to everyone else, but it's not random to, he's not some just some other guy to Jesus. It's one of his creations. Comes running to him, says, hey, kneels down. What must I do to have eternal life? And then look at verse 21, what the Bible says when Jesus looked at him. Then Jesus, beholding him. And to behold is not just to glance over, really stare, not to say stare down, okay, but Jesus is really looking at him up and down. And Jesus saw him. Jesus really, really saw him. Jesus really, really sees us, not just our person, but he sees all the way into our heart. He knows the intents and the thoughts and desires of our heart, not just our outward appearance or our behaviors. In fact, even when Jesus was denied by Peter, poor Peter, remember he denied the Lord three times, Jesus knew that Peter still, what, loved him. Even though Peter said he wouldn't, and Peter let his Lord down, and Peter let himself down, he let his fellow peers down, and he denied the Lord three times. Deep down, in fact, not just did Jesus know that Peter still loved him, but if you look at the passage in John when Peter is being reconciled to Jesus, Peter says what? Lord, you know I love thee. Because Peter was asked by Jesus, you know, Jesus comes back and says, well, Peter, do you really love me more than these, more than everyone else? When you said that you won't deny me, when everyone else would, you stand firm with me, that you'll die with me. Do you really love me like everyone else, like the rest of these? And then, of course, what can Peter say? He can't say anything, but he knows that deep down, and here is the comfort for all of us. I believe it's because that Peter knew, that Jesus knew, that he really loved the Lord, that compelled him, that encouraged him to get right with God. Because Peter wasn't afraid that if he, I mean, to reject Jesus three times, to deny him three times, that's pretty bad, right? But he knew that deep down, Jesus knew his heart. And that's a comfort to any child of God who desires sincere repentance. You know, ever feel like if you let someone down or you do something wrong that you shouldn't have, and you try to get right with someone, but you're not sure they would believe you, right? And then you're like, Peter did not have this fear because he knew the Lord knew his heart. And when we sin and disappoint and let down our Lord, it is a comfort to us to know that God knows our heart. And so I don't need to convince him. I don't need to. If you truly are sincere, God knows it. That's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. You know, and this does not apply and cannot apply to human relations. You know, because, you know, I could. Can you imagine if my wife and I, we go out and I deny her three times? Oh, boy, that's the doghouse. I mean, it's not even a doghouse, that's a sewer. I mean, if someone says, yeah, is that your wife? No, I don't know her. And then we sit down and sit separate. I'm just supposed to sit by your wife. I don't know who she is. Man, I told you, I don't know who she is. Think about that. I mean, what? And then if I try to make up to her with her later, like, honey, I'm just kidding, you know, and like, she probably won't buy it. Okay, well, because she can't see my heart. But because God can see us, really, really see us down through our very being, he knows our heart. That is a comfort for us that we know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the caveat to that is we've got to mean it. But the wonderful thing is God knows when we mean it. And that's awesome. Okay, so Peter did not have this fear. Neither should we. You know, God will always restore us if we but seek him. And Jesus sees our being. He really, really sees us. He beholds us. He sees our soul. He sees our desire. He sees our struggles. He sees our failures, our imperfections, our sins, our shortcomings. And yet, now this is pretty awesome. This is so awesome. What does Jesus conclude? What is the Lord's conclusion when he beholds us? Imperfections and all. Look at this. Verse 21, then Jesus beholding him. Now this guy, of course, is no saint, right? He's a sinner like anyone else. But what did Jesus, how does Jesus, what does it say? Loved him. Jesus beheld him, this rich young ruler, and loved him. How can this be? Because God is love. Faults and all, God made him. God loves him. Now, God knows, Jesus knows, his heart is caught up with mammon. He's been very successful, taken by the, you know, the success of the world. You know, imagine being in your 20s and, I don't know, earning seven figures. I mean, but that's not true wealth. But he's kind of caught up in that, and Jesus knows that. Doesn't mean he doesn't love him. Jesus still loves him. Jesus still loves you, okay? No matter what we get caught up in, right or wrong, Jesus still loves us. Jesus knew the rich ruler's heart was wrapped up with material wealth, but Jesus loved him anyway. And he desired, he didn't have it, but he desired fellowship with his creation, with this rich young ruler. The cost, yes, is that he had to give it up. But the end game, the goal that Jesus desired is to what? Follow me. That's the last two words of verse 21. This is what Jesus wanted from the rich young ruler. He didn't, the money is his anyway, Jesus, okay? He owns everything. He wanted the rich young ruler to come with him, that fellowship. He desired fellowship with him. And the Lord Jesus doesn't see what we are as much as he sees what we can become through his grace. Think about it that way. He doesn't see us in our state. Now, he's not blind to our sins, don't get me wrong. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't taint his love for us. He still loves us. But he sees as well what we can become through his grace. Look at what he says to this rich young ruler. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. So he tells him, if you do this, right now you've got a lot of money in the bank on earth. But right now, rich young ruler, you got nothing in heaven. But if you do this, you can turn it around. You can have lots of treasure in heaven, and you can have fellowship with me. You can follow me. Okay, this is what he desires. The rich young ruler could have true riches in the knowledge of Christ and the power of his resurrection. The rich young ruler could have a wonderful testimony if, you know, he gives his life to the Lord. He receives the Lord as his personal savior, okay, which would be evidenced by his obedience, which he did not, okay. And again, he could have that wonderful testimony of this quote-unquote rich and successful, rich young man that gave it all up so that he could find Jesus, right? And the idea is what a testimony to give that. At the judgment seat of Christ, this rich young ruler, he could have a heap of treasures in heaven to give as tribute to the Lord. He can be exalted by the Lord because he was willing to abase himself while on earth. But alas, he turned away from that. Look at verse 22. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Don't forget verse 21, Jesus loved him. Jesus is reaching out to him, yes, you and I, for fellowship, but he couldn't do it. He was grieved, but you know who else was grieved? The Lord. And he walked away. He walked away. The creation walked away from his creator. He had great possessions, wasn't willing to give it up. He didn't want to have that fellowship, let alone relation with the Lord, and he walked away. But I want us to understand that Jesus desired that fellowship. Jesus, in his mind, says, if you do this, I will exalt you at the judgment seat of Christ. People will, I will be glorified. The Lord will be glorified because of what you've done. You'll have a story to tell. He could, if he did it and found Jesus, I mean, imagine he could speak to a sellout crowd of young teenagers deciding what to do. I mean, he could be a keynote speaker. I mean, all these testimonies that he could have been, coulda, woulda, shoulda, if he was willing to trust the Lord, follow him. He didn't want it. Don't turn away from Jesus. Don't be like this guy. Follow the Lord. Don't keep the Lord at an arm's length. Let him reign in the throne of our heart. Be Jesus' mouth, his hands, his feet. Now, sometimes I might think, or my flesh might say, but I'm not spiritual enough. Well, here's the truth. The Lord sees us as a work in progress, not someone defined by our mistakes and certainly not by our past mistakes. If you look at Philippians 1:6, being confident on this very thing, the Bible says that he which hath begun a good work in you, that's every believer, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:10, after we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained, before ordained, that we should walk in them. As a workmanship of God, that workmanship is literally God's handiwork. God as the potter, we are the clay. Literally, God is molding us with his hand. We are his masterpiece, a handcrafted Jehovah original. There's only one like you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, that who also will do it. If God saved you, he didn't just save you, you can just let you sit there. He saves you so he can have fellowship with you. And so this is a wonderful thing. Consider a woman at the well, past mistakes. Yeah, she's a sinner like anyone else, like you and I. Past mistakes were only to draw her to Jesus. We know the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She had five husbands previously, and then currently wishes just with some other guy. But Jesus didn't shun her because of her past. He used it to draw her to himself. Our failures draw us closer to God. Ultimately, guess what? Let's go to John chapter 4 with me, because ultimately she leads the whole village to Christ. Okay, this is awesome. Don't miss this. John chapter 4, and then towards the end of the encounter, let's go to verse 28. John chapter 4, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, obviously, she's done a lot more than what Jesus had brought up, okay? Jesus brought up the fact that she had been married five times and now with some other guy. So it's not all things. But in the context, what she means is, the idea is, yes, yeah, even though she's done a plethora of other things, this one big thing that she's done, her five husbands, has plagued her entire life and has always been a cancer to her soul. And this is what the Lord brought out. What was most on her heart, he brought it out, and he didn't shun her. He was going to save her. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. And then look at verse 39. Fast forward. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, that's Jesus, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Now, what's amazing is she knew what she did. Jesus confronted her about that, and of course Jesus knows what she did, but no one else did. she's kind of vague here when she tells everyone else. And so at the end of the story, none of the villagers really knew her secret past, because it didn't matter. God can use anyone. God grants fellowship and desires fellowship with us, no matter how, quote-unquote, inadequate we may think of ourselves. That was Jesus' big criticism by the Pharisees. They, oh, Jesus, how can you dine with those sinners and those publicans? Sinners as in like harlots, druggies, okay, the deplorables kind of thing. And the publicans, you know. Now that, I was not saying, okay, no one likes IRS agents. Okay, but you get the idea. Jesus was a friend to sinners. And the Pharisees, oh, you should eat with us. We're the good guys. Oh, no. God can use our failures and our mistakes to draw us closer to himself. This is a children's song that, you know, when we were in Eau Claire, I would sing with the junior church kids. He's still working on me, and some of you might know this. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, cause he's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hands. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see, makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. How does Jesus see us? He loves us. He sees us as what he desires us to be by his grace. And he can do through us. We can do all things through him. That strengthens us. What a blessing. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, again so much for your word. Help us to be encouraged, Lord, and help me to be reminded, even as this rich young ruler, so many times I'm caught up with material things that don't last, and the true treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ, my fellowship with him, and the bonus is just laying up treasures in heaven that I get to cast at his feet, Lord, when we see him. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to walk closer with you. Lord, we love you. I thank you for your grace. Lord, who are we? Who am I, Lord? I'm just so overwhelmed by your love that you have to us. Help us to always seek you with sincerity, Lord, and we thank you for your word that reveals who you are to us. Help us, Lord, this week to be used of you, to draw nigh to you, and to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.